Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Society's Mutant / Metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. And right now, while it's somewhat of a guest, because he's on our little talk show segment, because it's not a special guest from the comics world at the moment here, but I have with me a very special co-host. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Victor Hudgens here, the Spokane Avenger. How's everybody doing today?
Yeah, so it's pretty much one of those of, holy shit, we know this guy, and it's not like a very, we don't have to ever introduce, like, yeah, fuck it.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, I can understand. You guys hear my voice a little too much.
Yeah. And folks, it's a talk show segment today because we actually did a thing. We reached out. We got a hold of some people in some groups, some Facebook groups and whatnot, too. And we asked, what makes a good comic book? Like, what do you want to see in a comic? What makes a comic book? Everything like it. That's exactly what we went out and asked people. And so, you know, I just want to know, Victor, right off the top of the bat here, before we get into people's of my own, what makes a good comic in your opinion? What is it?
Well, in my personal opinion, a great comic book, honestly, for one, and everybody honestly could agree on this, is a solid storyline, for one. But also another great comic book, though, too, would be, in my personal opinion, would be the quality of the artwork. I do like to have some appreciation in seeing some people put their love and put their emotions into their comic books. That's always a great bonus to have, you know, and I've had my hands on quite a few myself. Another thing that I like to see is some form of both the hero and the villain's backstory a little bit on why the situation's happening. I love to kind of see that incorporated throughout the storyline, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You want to see both sides of the coin sort of thing here, and you want to see what it's like for the heroes, but you also want to see what it's like for the villain sort of thing.
Exactly. I want to see the villain's side, because you always see in a lot of comic books, you know, and the higher majority of the comic books, you see more of, like, the hero's backstory, how it's so tragic, or it was great, tragic, whatever. You hardly ever see some comic books with villain stories, or at least me personally. I mean, I literally just recently got done looking and holding almost every single comic book in the comic book stores here in Spokane. And I have seen more of the hero side of the boohoo tragic stories versus, I actually do want to see more of the villains. I do, you know, because I do love a good villain. You know, you can't have a good story without a good villain.
Fuck no, you can't. I mean, there's no way in hell that you can't. As a guy who's a villain dude himself, because we're diving right into this, is no, you can't. Like, you have to have the good side of it. Like, a lot of times you'll be like, and we're not talking the villain of, Batman, oh, nefarious here. Oh,
no,
stop you, Cape Crusader. No,
we're
talking
the villain in general.
Yeah, not like cheesy villain, like we want to know, like, hey, which one's your man? You know, I don't know why the fuck I went straight to 60s Batman Penguin, but it's what I went to. Warner Brothers and Available Fire.
It was definitely a good example, man. I'll back you up on that.
Yeah. Yes! And you're cold, so you better know. You know, like, that's really good examples of things you want to see. And I do want to say is one thing you do see these days is you see a lot more of villains getting their own books, getting more backstory to them. I mean, Jesus Christ, we had DC Comics, which I love this book series, by the way. You mentioned it on the show a couple times, is DC Comics is Forever Evil. One of my top five favorite storylines of all time here, because Justice League is gone, the Evil Justice League, Crime Syndicate. I think it's Crime Syndicate, if I remember. And they take over and release all the DC Comics villains, and they're like, you have the world. And there's a couple heroes left, but not like the Justice League or anything like that. And so they're all like, fuck. And so the villains taken over, but then some are like, oh no. And so that's a storyline, which you haven't read it yet. Read it, because it's fucking beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. Beautiful. But we see books like that coming out. You know, books where we see the villains win, a la Old Man Logan. Old Man Quill, Old Man Hawkeye, and we got all these, by the way, which are fucking beautifully well done. So we see the villains coming back into there, and I always am a supporter of that. And, you know, I think a good comic is a story that gives you, what comics have done for me, at least, is give you the good sense of escapism, give you the good sense that you can open this book and you're not going to feel like, oh, fucking drowning in it. Like, the writing is good, the art is good, and both flow so well you have a piece that in your hands that you can escape into this other world. Whether it be Marvel, DC, or indie, you're able to go in and escape and dive into it and forget about the fucking outside world of its bullshit, because there's a lot of BS happening right now in the world. But we don't.
You were touching my heart, man. You're hitting it, dude. It's true. It is.
That's why we read comics. We want that. You know, that's why we want it. We want to be able to have it. So writing is one thing. Art is another thing. I've seen shitty art, but I don't really care. Like, if your art's terrible, I'm not going to be like, I'm putting this book down. I'm still going to read it and be like, okay, I'll power through it. Oh, I'm not going to go out there and be like, fuck you. Like, I don't know why I want Alan Moore there.
But artwork, though, man. I'll say this about the artwork. You can tell whether it's crappy or not. You can always tell who has actually put their heart and soul into it.
Yes, you can. Oh, you can.
I've seen some crappy artwork, dude. I've seen some crap, but the artwork, though, even though it was crappy, you can actually still feel the emotion.
It's true.
It's crazy. True. It really is.
But
that's
because it ties in with the writing. Because it all coincides, man. It ain't no, oh, the art's better than the writing. Like, no, they work in tangents so much.
Hand in hand.
Yes,
hand
it's hand. What it is. And so,
yin and yang.
Fuck yes, it is. So when you have those two working and flowing, you have that sense of escapism. Which is why I read comics, one of the many reasons. Inspiration. You take this inspiration and the motivation from the books you get in these heroes or fucking villains, and you take it in your everyday life and change the world for the better. Don't change it for the worse. We don't want any more Luthors. We don't need any more of those. No. I love White House. But
good God.
Oh shit. We lost half our viewers right there.
No, man. You're speaking truth, dude. Everything you just said literally is 100% truth. It really is. Especially the escapism part. I mean, a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of even young adults or young teens go through hard times, man. The ones that are going through hard times right now, you know. And if you're listening to this, dive right in, find yourself something, because this stuff, dude, I mean, you'll see what we're talking about, man, with the solid storylines, the great character background stories, you know, getting to know both, not just the hero, but get to know the villain too.
Yeah.
Well, that stuff right there. And you said that they actually have a series where villains are winning. It was like an actual Injustice type series or something.
There's a Injustice series too. You got that? That's for yeah. I mean, there was a mini series, New 52, which I am a fan of. But having that, it was a storyline in there for a while, and there was a billion tie-ins that really did really well too. And it's just an overall fun story. It's a fun time, but it's just amazing to me of how I will go down on. I think Stan Lee said this quote, but I don't remember him saying it. There is a comic for everybody. And no matter who you are, no matter what you do in life, no matter what goes on, whether it's dark, bloody, and very, very adult, or it's childish, fun humor, there is a comic for everybody. Now, who knows what it could be for you, but there is one for everyone. Like, you can dive into it and have a good time and enjoy yourself. And, you know, just, it's uncanny, pun intended, of it. I don't know. It's just nuts to me. And, Victor, you take it away with this, man. Like, what, anything else you want to see in, like, what makes a good comic? Because I'll go on and on. It will get very emotional and very deep, and we don't need that shit right now.
Well, honestly, I've made my main points on it, because there really is only a few main points in my behalf. And because, well, mainly it could just be, and I'm sorry that I'm really not that picky myself. Like, I mean, yeah. I am picky. Obviously, I have my main points. You know, I want a solid storyline. I want to develop a relationship with a character in that story, in that exact book that I'm reading. That's one of the main, okay, that's another main point that I actually did not say, is I want to actually be able to connect and either hate or fall in love with a character in the book I'm reading at the time or in that series, if that makes any sense. That's the kind of stuff that, to me, makes a great, great comic book, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, is to be able to actually say that if you can actually have a comic book make you cry, you found the one.
Which a lot do it to me. But I don't care. Like,
oh, okay, so I guess that's a bad point.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh, shit.
Okay, so scratch that. Just, I mean, if you feel emotion or feel something with that book or some form of connection, that's the series for you. That's the, you know, that's the type of the style of comic book for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I will leave it at that.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. There's just so much, and I want to wrap it up here on this before we dive into everyone's like little things of saying like there's about 90 years of comics. There is something for everybody, and you know, and a good comic will include the good writing, you know, and the one that I want to touch on, like art, we touched on that a little bit, and writing too, but I want to touch a little bit more on the writing part of, you got to have the facts, you got to have those things in there that capture you, you got to have those things in there that's not 100% like always action, 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 action. You're going to want drama, you're going to want action, you're going to want horror, you're going to want thriller, you're going to want all that stuff in there. You know, I've seen books, I've seen writers on big series that are like, it's 100% action all the time because it's metal, man. It's like, no, we don't fucking want that. It's Superman. Fuck off. We need drama, thriller, you get action, you get all other stuff. It's like, but no, it's 100% metal action and it's so sad now. It's a sad and action. It's like, no, there's supposed to be hope. It's the meaning of the fucking ass. Come on, like. There was a couple in there I was just frustrated with at the time, and I was like, but you know what, though? They got my money.
You're going to come across that.
Though. Oh, God, Marvel, DC, indie. There's a couple indie books that I came across, and I was like, really? Really? Why? And, you know, but you got to have those things in there. All those things in there make it. Like, if you want a lot of action, you can do that, but just make sure you have a good amount of everything else, too, in there.
You don't want to overwhelm with one thing.
And you want it to be interesting. You don't want nothing stupid. Like, we brought a F-list villain in there. Isn't it fun? No. F is not for fucking fun. This is not Plankton. This isn't SpongeBob. It doesn't work like that. You can't bring an F-villain. And I've seen them do it in Marvel recently, too. They bring in, like, oh, here's a Dear E-list villain. I'm like, what?
What? Who the fuck is this?
Oh, they're headlining their own story, though. No. Why? We don't want this. Like, nobody's loving this. I'm like, I like it, but because it's an interesting story, but it's like, I really want it, though, when you get down to the meet and greet?
Was it really worth it, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I'm not really, but you know what? That is one thing to think about, is not all comics, because so many people work on it, it's like the in-and-out exchange is insane for people to going in the series, going out series, going in, coming out, coming in, going, it's uncanny, but as you can tell, I read a lot of fucking X-Men because I use Uncanny.
Yeah, I was kind of starting to think, like, who the hell am I talking to Dakota, or am I talking to freaking Professor X over here?
I'm not that big of a dick, thank you. Jeez, here's one fact for you listeners at home. This is why I love to talk through segments. We can just go off on a tangent. Well, technically, if you listen to the show, on our interviews, we go off on tangents all the time. A la Uber Ghost Rider, not too long ago. And so, Professor X is a dick in the books. That's one thing, too, is what makes a good comic, is I like it when the movies, maybe you grew up in the movies, and you start reading the comics, and you're like, this character's way different. Like, Professor X is a nice guy, yet he's a dick. He's such an evil prick. And then he's really good for a while, and then he's, like, a dick, and he's like, why? And you're like, why? Like, no wonder everybody hates you.
I guess, now that you got my brain tingling back in the day, I guess I wouldn't say he was a dick. He was a sarcastic asshole, but he wasn't really.
Oh, no, he's a dick. And cloning and manipulation of people and all this other shit in the comics, he's a dick. Then what you see in the cartoons and the movies, he's rough.
I was talking about the cartoons. I was talking about the comics, too. Maybe that's just me, I guess. I don't know. I probably have a different outlook on his personality.
He was good for a while, but he does a lot of things that are like, ugh. Like, he's good, but he does a lot of things.
He's a very sleazy, shadowy, sneaky bastard.
He pretended to be dead for 5 fucking years and just hid in the bottom of Xavier's mansion watching TVs.
Sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah, that's true. You're like, listen, this mansion's been blown up every 5 days. Everyone wants to murder us.
Okay.
Yeah, they're lynching mutants. Oh, why would I want to go outside? I guess it's terrible. Oh, God. All right. Now, we do... I want to dive in on the comments now, because...
Let's go, man. What you got?
Oh, my God. Well, I do... Before we want to get in the comments, too, I do want to tell people we're like, a talk show segment? What the hell? Where's our interviews? If you're wondering that, folks, do not worry. We're in between scheduling interviews right now. We're getting some fun people from DC for you. Current lineup of them. We've had a little bit of Marvel on the show. But if you made it this far into the talk show segment of the show, you get a little special preview. We're having some people from a fun little cartoon coming on and this fun little series as well. So, Victor, shut up. Don't say nothing. And you guys are going to love it. I really think you're going to love it. So don't worry. We're going to have next few weeks are going to be a boatload of guests from DC. Maybe a couple of Marvel in between there. But stay tuned for some more, folks. I mean, subscribe. That's what that means. First up, Victor, we have ourselves Mark Johnson. And Mark wrote, well-written characters, because we asked, this is a poll of what makes a good comic. That's the question I gave these folks. These fellow fans, people on Facebook, Facebookians, you might say. Mark said this. Wants well-written characters engage in stories that aren't tired retreads, fair enough, reflections of people, meaning a diversity of characters, an audience I can identify with, but make it... Okay, well, the grammar on there is saying, but make it... Oh, there we go. But make it make sense. Like, if this is a small town of 500 people in Montana, I don't expect to see any minority main characters or minorities at all. But if you have a group of 10 or 20 people in NYC or LA or some major metropolis, there is no kind of minority... in parentheses, race, sexual preference, religion, etc. That's just not believable. I babbled a bit there. You did babble a bit, but you know what? You're really fucking right. Also, take risks with stories and characters. If you're taking over an ongoing series, know who you are writing about. Oh, preach it, brother. Don't preach just... Holy hell yes, Mark. Don't just come in and change a character's personality or erase someone's growth that has been progressing over many years. Basically, this is all I want in a good X-Men storyline / series. You are absolutely true, sir, Mark. Like, I can't... He wrote a long fucking comment, but you know what? Mark is...
But you know what? That right there, that long comment alone seems to shows us the fact that this man right here is a true to the bone comic fan right there. I love it. I love everything
Victor,
he said.
Victor, do you know what he is?
What?
He's a true believer. I had to.
I love how you get me to listen on the phone like that, dude. I love that.
You want to know something? Hey, Mark's right. Hey, to the people who find this funny. You know what, though? There's probably some woman or man listening to this who's a fan of the show, because I know some of the audience members, they're freaky. And I know that they're like, oh my God, he's whispering. And they're listening in the car or at home, and they're tingling right now.
You're going to cause somebody to, like, reach up over their steering wheel and like try to listen in by doing that or something.
I hope to God they crank it. That's horrible. They're like, yes! Like, it sounds like they're listening to porn in there. It does! Oh, but it's God. Comics. Oh, it's comic porn. No! Oh, shit. Alright, but you know what? Mark tells it. Like, and I like that fact of like the minorities and everything like that too. He's right. You want to see different races, you know, different sexual preferences, different all this stuff in there. When you're in a city like that, that makes sense. But when you're like a small town in Montana, which I guess he might be from, I don't know if Mark's from Montana or not. But possibly. Montana's a pretty good example. In like small town, you know, it's mostly Caucasian folks. It doesn't mean, I'm not meaning to sound racist to anybody out there who may be thinking, he's fucking racist. No. I mean it in the sense of that's how statistically it goes. Even in 2019, which is stupid. Mind you, I'm a huge X-Men fan, so that should definitely give you my stance on racism and all that. Like, you know, I said it in the last episode of the X-Men writers and whatnot, so... And it's good to know you are too, Victor. It's not like...
Well, we talked about it on one of our shows before anyways, yeah, too, remember?
Yeah, true, on one of the other talk show episodes
because
we did.
Because Professor X and Magneto both grew up around those times, around the racism times.
Yeah, but we're not going down that trail again. That's a whole tangent.
I'm just saying, in my defense, I'm the same way, too. That's all I'm getting at.
So, and, you know, he's right. I do want to see that in an X-Men storyline for that series. And we've been kind of getting that a little bit, you know. West Coast Avengers kind of did that. You know, we've got gender-neutral people. We got all this fun stuff. And I don't mind that at all. I'm like, okay, cool. That makes sense. You know, if you're having, like oh, it's an all-white men group of a hero team over here in New York City. It's like, all right, you're a Marvel. Fuck you. Because there's no way there's no female heroes or She-Hulk. Go to, come on. You know, or indie, or DC, or, you know, any of them. Like, you want diversity in your characters, and I 100% agree with that. And then someone who knows what they're writing about is 100% true, too, because, I don't know about you, Victor, I've seen people who are writing, and, like, they don't know the character at all.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before, too. I've seen quite a few of it, a lot of it recently, myself, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Called them out on it.
You called them out on it?
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm a nice guy, and I like to call out, but I don't like to be like, you suck! Go hell. No.
One of them in personally, oh my god, I can't English properly right now, personally. There we go. Anyways, it was somebody was making a comment about an anime character that I really actually connected with. It was one of my favorite anime characters, Vegeta. From Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And the dude was trying to come off about some all different kind of crap about him. And I just made my pretty much long story short, put my two cents in with it. And because I've been a fan of the show since I can walk and talk, you know, because by the time I was walking and talking, it actually just hit America. So
fair enough.
For the last 20 plus years of my life, I've been a fan of this personal character. And this dude is literally, I think, got him to tell me he's like 16 or something. Like, you're not even been around long enough.
All right. But here's the thing, though. That's the internet, though, Victor. That's the internet of...
No, sorry, that came out kind of wrong, but not that, yeah.
Yeah, point he's not,
being,
like...
Point being, do your research.
Yeah, point being, doing your research. But on the internet, if you're making a comment about something, I get that. Like, people be like, ah, whatever. Like, you definitely...
Oh, no, this was a personal, like, he was personally, like, messaging me.
Okay, was he... But we're talking about, like, people who write shit. People who actually work in the business. Like, all the online trolls... I don't even like. We're gonna stop it there on that because yeah. I don't like getting any prevalence those dudes. And the fact you can put him on the show, he can go fuck himself. His online trolls, terrible.
I can't stand that shit. It's been happening
to
me a lot lately.
No, like, and I can't tell like
what anymore. I'm not an internet person.
No, and you know what too? Here, Mark is here talking about. We're on like 5 minutes on one dude. we got like seven more. The people who work on this, people who work on the shit, not no online troll commenter or anything like that, or fanboy or fangirl. He's talking about people who work on the stuff there, people who write and do the art, know what you're doing, know your character that you're going on the project for. That's what he's talking about.
Gosh, be working on a Hulk project and then be writing about, like, Wolverine or something.
Yeah, if you know you're writing about Wolverine, don't have him do something stupid.
No, that's what I'm saying, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, don't be stupid with it. Don't be, like... Gotcha. Don't be Spider-Man making a deal with the devil. Don't...
Holy crap, damn, that... If you're writing something, Spider-Man making a deal with the devil...
You don't know that storyline, sir?
No, I don't. But we'll save that for another time. I'll ask you about that later.
Oh, God. You are in for disappointment.
Alright, I'll save it for
so bad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my
save,
god.
Save for another time.
I don't want to ruin your spider fandom, but I mean, it's funny. It's just how stupid it is. Oh, all right. We're going to move on to the next people.
Tell me another time. What's the next one here, man?
Yeah. Well, Mark, I want to say though, Mark, you gave really good points, man. We love you. It's the next one.
Thank you, Mark.
Brad Hyde. Brad said, I like your last name, by the way. Chuckling Hyde. You probably hear that all the time. The intersection of good characters, interesting conflict, engaging art with a story that leaves you satisfied, reading one issue but longing to read the others before and after. Yes, he's right. We just talked about this before we started reading the comments, actually. Something that has the story want you to have more. Like, we didn't even talk about that, but you want more of it. Like, yeah, one issue is amazing. But you want that one where it's amazing, but then it wants more, is what Brad's trying to point across here. And I full-heartedly agree, Brad. Like, you want that thing in there that you read that book, or even that one page will do it to you. Like in the Flash 34, I think, or something like that. Of something, just gave his recent Flash issue as of this recording. And, like, you know, things are going to hell with Heroes in Crisis and whatnot. And what got me, Flash always keeps me reading for more, but there's always that one thing that does in a Flash book. And I'm a huge fan of the Fastest Man Alive. And that one thing was, like, him and Batman are doing this, like, deal. I'm not going to spoil anything. But just know that there's a fight at Bruin. And Flash is pissed off because somebody may have died, and I may have just said the name. And it's Batman's fault. And so he's pissed. Like, Barry's pissed. He's like, no! And then, like, because Wally was lost in a time stream and that. Like, the true Wally, like, the white ginger dude. Like, the one that we knew and whatnot. But then you have new Wally, kind of like the Flash TV show Wally. Like, I say true Wally, but it's just the one who was before Flashpoint. All convoluted thing. And, like, he died. And Barry just got him back. Like, remembered him. Got him back from the Flash, from the Speed Force. Because he was taken away from some villain, which were alluding to Dr. Manhattan and shit. And, you know, and Batman's just like, they're in a fight, and he's like, he's talking about, like, you bring all these people in here and they're dying. And then Bruce just yells at him, at least I didn't forget my best friend slash partner. And then Wally's just like, best friend and partner, I mean, not slash. And then Wally just turns around and he engages speed mode. And the Batcave was like, speed force detected. And it's trying to shoot at him like, oh shit. And he just goes and he just about, he stops an inch away from his face. And he screams and spits in his face. I could, and Batman was flinching. And he's like, I could punch you 100 times in a second before you could even lift your fist. How's that for being Batman?
Dude, I've never even read that, but just from here, listening to you right now, I want more.
Yeah, like, you're like, holy shit. And yes, this is part of the storyline, but it's like, that right there, that's one thing that would keep me going. It's like, oh, this character died. That always keeps you going, but that's a cheap ploy. But you want those things of like, oh, this happened here. It's like, oh, Jonathan Kent? Yeah, the son of Lois and Clark? Yeah, he was like 9 and he was Superboy. Now he's like 15 all of a sudden after going into space with his granddad. Like, what? So it's like, what the shit? And he's still got a cool suit, but Bendis, we love you for it. And so, you know, there's always those things that, you know, Marvel is those things in Spider-Man, you know, Old Man Quill. It's basically Old Man Logan, but going to use it with the point of view of the Guardians of the Galaxy out in space when the Earth fell and all the Hero Holocaust happened. And so, like, everything happened in Old Man Logan and shit like that, and all the events, Red Skull and all that jazz. So they come down, but the world's still screwed. You know, all the heroes are dead. And so they're visiting. They're like, wait, the Avengers are dead? The Defenders are dead? They're all gone? And it's like, even on the cover, it's like them walking through the mass grave of heroes. And because they're like, and they're like, Rocket Raccoon's old as shit. He's got a cane. He's like, all right, Quill! And it's like, it's amazingly done. Like, amazing.
And so, dude, I saw the cover of the book and like the artwork of that alone makes me want to just go and buy it.
Oh, God, it's so worth the money. So Brad's right. You got to have those things in there. If that doesn't prove it right there, you want to have those things. If you don't have that story in there, that writing, but that is on the job of the writer to be able to make that happen. And I've been told I do that with my work. Victor, I think you do that with yours. And so we're able to do that. And so it's a gift. It takes a while to learn, but you got to put those points in there in comics when you're looking for it.
It is. It does take a lot of work. It takes, believe it or not, folks, it does take a lot of brain power.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Dude, I am personally mentally exhausted, but, you know. It just comes with the work. It just means that, you know, and I'm still pushing it.
Yeah.
And I know every artist out there that works for DC and Marvel, all of them go through the same thing, probably sitting at their desk right now, scratching their forehead, like, fuck, what do I need to put next?
You're honestly not wrong, because there's so many people from Marvel and DC and indie books that actually listen to the show now. So, and that are actors and shit too. So to all y'all creators out there, love you. Keep rocking. Keep creating. We know you're listening.
Keep pushing, please.
And those people who do not work at the companies, though, man. We got to shout out to them, too. Those people who are trying every day that are 9-to-5ers like us, too, and just working hard at it.
Yep. I encourage you personally, as a writer myself.
Yeah.
Even if you're not big time, I'm not even big time.
Neither am I.
Keep doing what you love. It will pay off.
Hell yeah.
You will meet amazing people in your life. I have.
Hell yeah. All right, man.
Anyways, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, we can go off on another tangent. Yeah. We got a few more here. We're only number two out of eight or something.
I'm sorry, guys.
Malcolm, so Brad, rock on, man. You got some good points there. Malcolm Carney, I think is how you say his name. Dives back to the first one. Diversity helps. More variety in people means more varieties in stories that you can tell. A person from one demographic can experience an event completely different than a person from another demographic. Very true, and that actually adds, they do that. Some writers are doing that as of recently too, I've noticed, and over the years a little bit more and whatnot. And you know, like, example would be Iron Fist seeing the racial problems that happen within Harlem with Luke Cage. That's an example right there, because he's like rich white boy going down to the gutter and shit like that. I think they touched that in Defenders too. Yes. And the TV show, the books themselves are amazing, but well, the newer ones, the older ones were good too with Doctor Strange. But keep it on, Malcolm here is absolutely right, because that alone can give you so many good stories. That alone is a good hook. That alone is a good thing you want to see. You know, you want to see, because everyone is in one world here. Unless you're in the comic books, then you're in the multiverse. But you know what I mean? Is you see, you have your own little thing of like, oh, well, I'm dealing with all these rich people all the time. It's like, well, no, now you're in the gutters. You know, you're down here with the rest of us. You're down here in the suburbs. You're down here on the streets. You know, and whatnot too, and they're like, oh shit. And it's like, yes, this is what it happens. Or it's a different racial thing of versus whites, be blacks, Asians. And it could be anything. Anything at all. And so, you know, or Latino, and white, you know, see a little bit of that too. Oh god, there was one where someone, I think it was Legends of Tomorrow, one of the earlier seasons with Firestorm. And they had him in there. And the two of them were like, oh, Jeff, they're like, Jefferson. Jefferson was with them. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to go back to the 1800s. Like, oh, yeah. Because he's a black kid. He's African American, I'd say. I say black kid, but I don't mean them to be racist. I'm not all that jazz. Just want to put that out there. And so he's an African American kid. So you see him, and you're like, okay. And when that dude said that, too, and actually touched upon it in that first, like, 10 minutes, and he's like, oh. And so, you know, you're going to go see. Like, you saw, like, the other heroes, and you saw him experience, like, the racism of that time and what it was like and that. And they realized, like, in other heroes were like, oh, God, time travel is going to be rough because this is actually what happened. I actually touched upon it. Like, that's fucking good. And they see that in comics, too, a little bit. And so that's really nice to be able to see that. I agree wholeheartedly with him. I fully agree with you, Malcolm. Victor?
Yeah, actually, I do. I mean, they kind of, well, I never really understood it personally myself with, like, the whole fire, because I never really kind of, like, got into that show personally.
Well, fuck the show! You know what I'm talking about! The
diversity part of it, though, in general, yes, I do. I mean, I do love to have that stuff incorporated, because, yeah. I mean, I can't even, I'll just be repeating everything you said, so I'm going to save the trouble
here. Yeah, no, I covered it all. I basically did cover it all, but. I've seen the stuff. I've been a fan and I've been reading books for a long time. So this is one of those of that. And so I do want to say thank you, Malcolm, for your comment on there. Very much appreciated. Next up, we have Anthony George. Oh, that's his name. Character-driven stories and amazing art. Yeah. I mean, you know, like we said before, that's 100% yeah. Like we covered in the beginning, Victor, you know, it's, we want that good art. We want them character-driven stories, you know. We want them, the stories that are driven by the main characters that you know of, or maybe even a B character or a C character. We don't want a character-driven story of, like, it's a story based on the old woman Spider-Man helped cross the road. What? Which it happens! You laugh, but it happens, sir! It really does. Like, not that specific example, but it's happened in Marvel, it's happened in DC.
I'm not, you know, saying you're wrong, it's just the way you're saying it just makes me laugh.
Probably! It's why I'm making a
goofy mood all day, so.
I mean, it's true. I just, you know, there's anger in that voice, in this voice right now. There's this anger with it, because I remember reading the story, and I'm like, oh, the scene happened here. Oh, and now it's just based upon, like, here's a few pages of, in a storyline for this one issue, though, on this big storyline, epic things happen. Oh, but we're focusing on the view of the best friend who does nothing. It's like, what?
Huh?
Why? What is happening? Why? Like, what are you doing?
You can't just say that and then not tell me.
I know, it's like, I'm giving this an example.
If there's one thing in the world I really hate, is that shit. You're going to say something like something great's going to happen, and then you don't speak of it after that.
Yeah, and it's like,
go something else.
It's like, yeah, why? Like, I like to call that a tease. So, I'm going to move on here, and their teases are, if you tease in life, and you know what I'm talking about, listeners, if you're old enough, you know. And so, talk show episodes, you never know what's gonna happen.
I don't think Oh Shit's his last name.
Matthew Oh Shit. Is Oh Shit in the house? Yeah. Matthew Pelichoff, I think is how you say the name. Pelichoff. I'm gonna say it's Pelichoff. Art has been there. What? Yeah, art has to be there. I swear to God, I'm not tired. All right, a little context here, folks. I did a big, huge, like, audition thing today, a big, huge callback. I did, like, a couple hours of combat training today and rolling and then giving lines and reading scripts and stuff like that in front of directors. So if I seem a little bit tired, that is why. Behind the scenes of host Dakota Morgan. So art has to be there for Matthew. The writing can be amazing, but I can't get sucked into a story with bad art. Also, writers need to understand their characters or leave them alone. That's, you know, I'm glad we're getting to that subject again. Well, I'm glad we're not the only ones who think that.
The artist and the writer, in my opinion, are hand in hand. They should correspond with each other a little bit.
As we covered in the beginning, yeah.
Yes, I mean, it is, and he's not wrong. That's definitely, you, sir, are not wrong. I mean, being a writer myself and working on, you know, a piece at the moment, you know, I actually do keep in contact with my artist as well. And we do, you know, correspond back and forth between one another, you know, that way because he wants to know, you know, I mean, mainly because I do know all the characters of the story and how they are and how they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
For one. You know, and that's why, I can't argue. I can't argue with him either.
No, and you know what, though? Like, he is someone, like, I'm not dogging on you, Matthew, because I know the people are going to be listening. But I know I'm not with you on the, I can't get sucked into the story if it has bad art. Yes, the art doesn't make the comics, but I'm one who's like, even if the art sucks, but the story's good, I'm like, I'll still read it. I'll still get it.
At least something's good there, you know?
Oh, God.
At least... You know.
Yeah, something's good there at least. If both are bad, it's rough. But if I love the series alone, and I know maybe they're not going to be lasting that long on it, or whatever the hell may be happening, I will still focus on it. I will still power through it and read it. I'll still pay the money and whatnot. Because I'm a loyal fan, I'm like, you know, listen, it's... Because, you know, there's a comic for everybody, but there's comics that are just not made for you. And even if it's a series you love, you just... maybe it's not a story you like. You know, you don't like everything. You know, you just... How it works.
I mean, everybody's got their own personal opinions. You don't. You mean if you don't like it, you don't like it. Nobody's forcing it on you. You know. I mean, it's not like someone's gonna come up to you and be like, "You better buy that book right now, boy."
Exactly.
You know, if that's happening, then I'm sorry, but.
Yeah. I don't know where you're at, but it sucks. Look,
you know what, Dakota? You're not wrong. Honestly, yeah. I actually have to agree with you on that because I mean, if you don't like the art and the storyline is solid. At least the storyline's solid. You can power through with that way. You know, you don't have to have... I mean, I'm pretty sure you've read a few chapter books in your life that have no pictures. You know?
Oh, a bit. I mean, I kind of have to read books for that are called scripts for my job in films. I mean, just a little bit.
You know, but that's the whole point, you know? And if it's the other way around, then at least you got a good, nice art piece, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Now, we're going to move on here, man, because...
Another, it's a win-win, and like Dakota said, if it's both are bad, sorry.
Yeah, both are bad, and you know what? I'm one of the 1% who power through it. Like, dude, yeah. I will be on... Because my comic book store owner, shout out to Ken and Drawing the Comics from Glendale, Arizona, and he's like, you still buy them? I'm like, yeah, I'll still read it. And he's like, what? And he's like, I know, nobody's really loving the story or the art. Like, I know. I like the series. I like the characters a lot. I still escape into it. It may not be a happy world I escape into. Like the song from, as we made like the South Park joke before the start recording, is like Imagination Land. Imagination Land is fun, but that song you gotta see to get over there, it blows. So, you know, overall, that's fun and you still escape, but it sucks along the way sometimes.
It does.
All right. Now, we got a fun one here. Now, I'm really happy with this one we got here because Joel, I think his name, because there's like the two dots above the E, so I think it's Joel or Joel. They, Chanu. So, I don't know. A little bit, I like it. I like the weird stuff out there. I'm a crazy guy. I'm one that if you have an accent, I will, here's my heart. Here is one from Joel or Joel. Who really care? ? I see the sell for good stories, and man, they don't sell much. But do a stupid event with as many tie-ins as you can think of, and that will be bought. Or do an issue one with character you will write off, so off, then that will speak of it. Okay. It's weird writing here. Or do an annoying empty weekly. Kill off and bring back right away old character, and don't ever let a new character in the spot he will shine. And if one does make him look bad in other comics, or let a writer do a crappy job in writing a boredom empty short story, and don't ever support good story with low sale. I'm with you on the tie-ins in the fact of and events, because we have so many comic events. It is uncanny. It is unbelievable. I like some, but as I like started reading comics full, like I read some before and I was mostly into the media and stuff like that. But as I've noticed a lot of times now, what we have is we have so many events happening in Marvel and DC that it's crazy. And there's a trillion tie-ins too, like a new series or your series that you're reading is doing a tie-in with it. And the storyline that they're telling now in that book is tied into the other one. And so it could derail entirely, or maybe it's a little bit of a tie-in and stuff like that. But there will be like an event happening. Here's the main event book series. Or here's the new book that's out. That's the event. But here's a, like, there was one DC called Convergence. And there was like 13 or 14 tie-in series. Maybe more. And then there was the regular books that you had. I don't know. So that I'm with them. I am with Joel Sashol, because we don't need any more of those. Now, Victor, I don't know if you've ever experienced that yet, of like, oh my God, stop hitting me with these events.
A couple times, probably not as much as you.
Yeah.
I'm not blind to it though. I'm not blind to it.
Yeah, and some of them aren't that good.
It's not that hard to figure it out. It's not that hard to see.
No.
You know, and then of course me, like I said, you know, I mean, I've been kind of going to my local comic book stores a lot more often, and I've been doing a lot of reading there, you know, and it's not that hard to see, and it needs to kind of, you know, stop.
Yeah, just kind of, just stop. We just want you to move away over there. We just want you to move. That corner, go to it.
If it's that obvious where I picked it up that fast.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
A lot of tie-ins.
The past years have been insane for how many tie-ins are in and how many events there are. It's insane how many there are.
I've also read a lot of books in my life in general.
Yeah.
Not just comic books. It's everywhere, too. But it is a lot more with DC and Marvel.
Yeah, I'm about to say it. I'm like, yeah, regular books.
The biggest part, yeah, but not a percentage of it happening is DC and Marvel. I can't deny that.
It is. And Marvel went out a while ago and said, oh, after this, we're not doing any more events for an entire year. Bullshit. It happened. They couldn't go an entire year without telling a goddamn event of any kind. And they're like, okay, I get it. It's a money thing. It's a business thing. But here's the thing. You overload it. You overload the market. Nobody wants it. That's what's happening.
You're going to tire people. It's like eating too much candy in one day. You're going to get sick and tired of it real quick.
Yes, and the tie-ins are so stupid. Why have so many books that are tie-ins? Nobody's going to go read a book they don't like. If they're not picking up the book and reading it already, you're not going to convince them and then keep convincing them to read that book with one fucking tie-in. It doesn't work. It works maybe 1% or 2% of the time. I'll give it 2, because there's a lot of people in the world that read books. So it probably works 2 or 3% of the time. I'll raise it to 3. Oh, you know what? I'll be generous. I will give you 3%.
I keep it at 1 or 2 if you want the true facts.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. And so moving on, though, with him, with what he said, too, is, you know, don't do an issue one with character you write off, so then the next week we'll speak of it. What do you mean by that one?
I think, I'm going to take a wild guess, and if I'm wrong, I hope he corrects me or you correct me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it sounds like he's saying don't bring in somebody, then kill him off that real fast, and then talk about it in another book or episode.
That sounds about right, yeah. I mean, and it's true. That happens.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, too. That right there, I can 100% agree with that. Don't bring in a character, make me follow that character, kill him off real quick. Or even not fall in love, just don't bring me somebody new and then destroy him and then talk about it later. Bring it up again later.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck? I want answers now.
I am with Wright, and I'm with him on this one, is if you're going to do a weekly book, make it interesting, don't have another empty weekly, I'm with him. Because I'm tired of those weekly. They're like, oh, it's a weekly series. And they suck. And they're like really bad. But then like 10 issues in, they're like, oh, here's a good one. 5 issues later. Here's a good one. 10 issues later. Here's a good one. It's like, oh, Jesus.
You start seeing that wacky pattern.
Yeah, when that's just an example. Probably a pretty bad example. But it's just an example of why. Just why. But you know what, though? Avengers No Road Home, as of recently. good series. I'm liking it. We had Man Without Fear, which we had the writer Jed McKay on an older episode of the podcast. So go in our little back issues theme over there and go check it out. That go in an older episode, but it was Man Without Fear. That was really good too. You know, the weeklies are good, and I'm not really picky on writing, but I'm not picky. I'm like not really picky, but I have my likes and dislikes, and you know how I feel about when I'm reading something. So I won't, if I'm saying something's bad, it's pretty damn bad. Like, it's rough. Like, it's really, like, if you Google it, it will get 1 out of 5 stars on everything. Like,
on those weekly reads, huh?
On weeklies and books in general. And then kill off and bring back, right away, old character, and don't ever let a new character in a spot. He will shine. Oh, yes, because we know we have characters who they bring up, and they're like, oh, the character's dead now. And then, the newbie took over the place. Oh, an issue later, you know, he's back. He's the big guy's back again. What? We love this person more. A lot. We don't want Damien to be anything, because Damien sucks. But I will vouch at the end of time, Victor, is Damien Wayne sucks. I hate him. Damien Wayne Robin. Terrible. Yeah.
He's a little asshole, that's why.
Yes! Thank you! Thank you!
Trust me, and I'm going to say about, I guess I can say it right, because it won't take very long. I mean, I've been, you know, I actually started wanting to read it, because I thought it looked really good. The whole Robin versus Ra's al Ghul series, you know, freaking dude's a little shit.
He's always a little shit. Now,
I actually smacked the page just because I wanted to freaking hit him.
I know, you're just like, you're taking the back of your hand. Huh! Damn it, Damien! Damn it! And Batman's like, he's fine, he's my son. Oh, screw you. Get out of here.
Fuck you, Batman.
Right? Yeah, like, seriously.
How can your son be a little shit? You're Batman. Whoop his ass a little bit.
You think Joker was the worst thing you created? No, it's Damien.
No, it's Damien. The Joker's a saint.
Yes. No. I will not use those words that way.
He's by far, like, my top favorite DC villain. I really love the Joker.
Oh, Joker? Oh, Joker's an episode in
itself. Everybody loves him. At least I do. I mean,
I got Joker Converse sitting right behind me. But let's not just say it as that. Moving on. And so ending it here with, making characters look bad in one series, make it look really good in their like main series or something like that, and then make them look bad in another series. I hate that. If you're going to take a character and make them really good, use what made them really good and put it in your own book. Don't try to make your own spin on the character that's doing really good and that everyone loves. Screw yourself. It doesn't work like that. Terribly sorry. Don't try that. Don't be petty. Don't be any of that crap. Ugh. But all right, we're moving on now. Dan Hutton. Hutton. Dan here says, a well-rounded character, allies, but also supporting characters, in parentheses, Alfred Aunt May, who keep the character in line. A complete rogues gallery, a definitive base of operations. I dig that. It seems like the man loves his Batman and Spider-Man. No, because that describes them both to a T. Except for base operations. Yeah. Spider-Man's like an apartment or some shit. Well, sometimes. So, yeah, I feel hard to agree on this one, too. A well-rounded character. We want that. That ties into what we were talking about before. Allies, though, also supporting characters. That also helps greatly. You know, like... and I think a good storyline needs that. You agree, Victor?
What, having allies?
Well, yeah. Like, I think people like the lone wolves.
You can't always be doing that stuff by yourself. I don't care who you are.
No.
It's always good to have an ally.
Not to mention
it brings a mixture of personality.
Exactly. You know, we live in a world where we have Spawn, which Tom McFarlane, love your work as Spawn. And we also have Punisher, and they have allies. They may not appear all the time, but they're still there. You know, and we also have supporting characters as well in books. And you always have to have a supporting character in there. If you do not, you're shooting yourself in the foot. But supporting characters make the storyline go around. They make it have a well-rounded storyline. They make it so you have these good characters, and like they make your main character who they are and what they do. And a base of operations, a definitive base of operations, I would disagree on Dan here. You don't need that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cool to have.
Yeah, it's cool to have a cave.
It's one of those things, though, that you don't really have to have, though.
No. I mean, yeah, it makes for a good book.
It's not a main importance.
No. No, it's not. Mine either. It's not, like...
Like, if Batman didn't have his Batcave, I mean, I probably wouldn't care.
I'd find it kind of weird because that son of a bitch has, like, 10 Batcaves. I'd be like, what happened? Why is there not a cave?
You know what I'm saying, though?
Batman
was created and he never had a Batcave ever or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have still loved it just because it would have been still a good story, regardless. You know, he didn't have, for not having a base of operations.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, it's true.
But now that we've seen it, if he has doesn't end up having one anymore, then I'd just be like, what the fuck? Because, I mean, you know.
He literally has, like, 10. He just has them all around Gotham. I'm not even kidding you. He has them all around for like, oh, I need a Batcave at Arkham. I need a Batcave over here. I need a Batcave over there. And I control all of Gotham. It's like, you are like a king. No! You know,
he has his own little Batcave inside the Hall of Justice, probably.
It's called the Hall of Justice.
No, just as a joke. You know.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It is called my Batcave is the Hall. No, it's the Hall. No, it's my Batcave.
That's my Batcave.
No, it's the Hall. No, it's my Batcave.
Batman, go to your room.
You're off the Justice League. I was never on the Justice League. I was always on the side. It's like, fuck off, get out of here.
That is Batman's character right there.
No. Really? And never knew.
Nah, fuck you, Superman. No.
Yeah, no, I was never a Justice League member.
No. I got a green rock here. Go away.
Yeah, fuck off. Here's the pebble in your shoe. Oh! And then also a complete rogues gallery. That also helps immensely as a fan of villains here. I have someone I have in my studio, home studio here, in a Bizarro hat. And it tells you how much of a villain, a fan of villains I am. I have a Bizarro hat and a Forever Evil clothing line, which I thought they would have continued. So yeah, there's that. We had talked about that before. And moving on to the next one, because I have it right here. We have Matthew Ryan Roberts, a character with a really interesting superpower. Yeah.
Yeah,
that helps.
Why not?
If it's a character with powers, you don't want them to have anything stupid. Yet, I will give it this. I've seen them have... I mean, I read X-Men books. There's lots of them with stupid powers. But they still make the book fun. There's really a guy who shot golden bubbles at people. And they could be either solid, or I think they could be... I think they're solid a lot. Yeah, they're solid. They was called, the name was called Gold Balls. Oh, Gold Ball. And I wish I was kidding. I really do. But I'm not.
Oh my god. Was the special finisher the freaking tea bag?
No, he just literally, I wish. He just shot balls at the table. And so you know what? That's a little interesting. It's stupid. So I wonder, Matthew.
How did I miss that one?
Oh, because it never lived that long. Just, okay. There's a reason why.
But still, dude. That's That's genius. I love it.
I think all the mutants died except the X-Men after that. Oh, no. There was that X-Men virus mutant virus that came around, made more Inhumans. Rest in peace. And then also, like, killed X-Men, though. So it was like, oh. It killed mutants. It was sad. And, you know, Matthew, I want to know what is the definition of an interesting superpower, because obviously we find gold balls interesting and fascinating, and I'd read a book on gold balls. So, I don't know. I know what's an interesting superpower.
Yeah, have fun with it. Yeah. I personally want to see your ideas, dude.
Like, what the fuck is a non-interesting power, though? Like, what is a non-interesting superpower?
I don't know, I mean...
The kid from X2 literally could change, like, control technology with a blink. That's interesting.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, that's right. Like, there was that kid that did it, and they all wanted his freaking DNA, too.
Yeah, they did. But then you also got a girl who can, like, talk to animals, you know. Yeah, okay.
That's, you know, I've seen that with the wild thornberries, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, my God. There's a fan art out there happening. If somebody out there has ever thought of Elijah Thornberry or whatever it is, combine X-Men and the Wild Thornberries, I will literally pay you for that. As I will pay for Uber Ghost Rider, because nobody turned in anything for that competition. Terry was sad about that. People talked about it, and they're like, I want to do it. I'm like, didn't do it. But I want to see what's a non-interesting superpower.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, a non-interesting, because, I mean, come on, gold balls, dude. Beat that, okay? You beat that, then I'll be interested.
Yeah, right? Like, beat gold balls! It's like, what? Okay. And I think, I don't know who's like, profile picture is in there. Okay.
And no, platinum balls is out of the question. That doesn't count.
That character's coming to Magic Mike 4. Now we're moving on here to...
Oh my god, no. Yes, moving on, please.
Yeah, now we're moving on to Chris. See, folks, on the talk show segments, you have no idea what the hell's going to happen.
Oh, god.
Now on Chris Smallfield... Oh, god. Chris Small, Smallfield here says, self-sacrifice for the greater good or the little guy slash gal gets me every time. Yes, that does. When you see someone do it, like, a la Daredevil, literally jump in front, as he did recently, jumped in front of a semi-truck, it got hit again. Like, this isn't that, like, he did it as a kid, and he got hit again. He literally got almost paralyzed. He was in the hospital for an entire miniseries. He got fucked. He's like, I give up on life, and, like, defenders are there, like, we're here to help you, man. Oh, and he, like, did it just to save a dude. You know, just save a kid. And that does get me, too, when you see this stuff happen, you know? Like, Superman, like, Superman stand in front of riot police after people are kind of, like, protesting a little bit. And he doesn't even have any powers. He got depowered. He has, like, 1% of his power. He's, like, Shaggy at this point. I used 1% of my power. And he's sitting there holding chains. And he's, like, these heavy chains. He's sitting there. Doesn't even have his uniform on. He only has a shirt and jeans and boots and shaved head. Things were tough for Superman at this time. And, you know, the police are under the... Little did we know, like, the police in charge was like, go beat their heads, and like, what? And the police are like, oh, let's go! And the police chief is like, yeah, let's do it! And little did you know, the police chief is an alien that got replaced him and shit like that. I think killed him and ate him. And so, like, yeah, he didn't know at the time, but during that... Before he found it out, it was, like, a whole issue of them, like, him taking the beatings, him taking everything else like that. Like, it still hurts a little bit, everything they're throwing at him, because they have metahuman guns, because it's fucking Metropolis. So, you'd expect them to have gear for that. And so he sacrificed himself a little bit there too, you know, and someone who dies from it, like a hero or villain. Sometimes the villains sacrifice themselves for the greater good or to save somebody. It makes you cry. I don't know about you, Victor, but have you encountered those moments yet and, like, seen some of those?
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, I've a little, well, not recently, but I have before in the past.
Yeah.
I can't really specify when, though, actually. I'm actually brain dead on that one. Holy shit.
I can tell. Oh, shit, sir. Get some caffeine. But yeah, no. So, yeah, it gets you.
My personal opinion on that, though, is, like, just in general, just to give a general answer to you, is, I mean, if it gets me crying, then I love it.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's so sad, man.
Yeah. For me personally, I have softened up because, you know, I have three beautiful little girls and stuff like that. So I am a little bit, I am a lot softer, but yeah.
You was. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I accept it though. But if you can get me with those moments, man, that's definitely, it's definitely good.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
I love it. I can't, I'm not going to lie about that. I love cheesy moments.
Exactly. Thanks, Chris, for the comment, man. Right now we're looking at Christopher Conception. All right. I think it's how you say your last name. It looks like Conception. I know it's probably mispronounced, but I'm sorry, Christopher. Love you, man. The villains are relatable and sometimes win. Nothing makes my eyes roll faster than mwahahaing bad guys. Oh my god, yes. Exactly, person in the background, Victor's phone. Exactly. It's stupid. We don't want the sort of thing. We want the, I just murdered a whole entire family. And I just carved a tally for each single one of them in my arm. That's Victor Zsasz, mind you. And, you know, we want villains like that. We want the ones who are like, listen, I'm going to destroy the world, but it's for the better. Or it's like, I hate you. Like Godspeed recently, a good Flash villain, recently put in. He's got white. If you ever, folks, if you don't know him, take a look at Godspeed. He's a really cool suit design. He's white with, like, yellow lines net all over him and yellow goo. Like, he has no mouth. Like, he doesn't have a mouth slit or anything like that. And he has, you don't see his eyes, but, like, yellow bug eye things almost.
Holy shit, that sounds badass.
Oh, he's cool. I heard he's coming to Flash, the TV show, and I'm like, fuck yes. And, I heard. I don't know for sure. I think he's coming, though. I really hope he is. And if he is, I want to really interview that actor.
Well, I hope so, because everything's coming to... Hulu's going to be picking all these shows up, and I'm going to be watching them again.
Thank God. I'm about to say, what does Hulu have to do with it? But yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I was like, wait, Victor, why?
Well, you're talking about it possible of this person, because I kind of want to see this. I might just go.
Well, here's the thing that he does. He's like, oh, you have the super, like, he knows Barry's flashy like that. And he got it from a storm that gave everyone, like, super speed powers, which I thought they were going to do at the end of season four. I think it was.
Yeah.
And one of the seasons of Flash recently. And so, like, they didn't do that. And I was like, that's stupid. But he's like, oh, you have these powers? He's like, yeah, but these villains, you let them live. He's basically Punisher, but with super speed.
Holy shit, really?
Yes.
Oh, dude, that sounds dope.
And he's like, I'm going to go run to Iron Heights, and I'm going to murder all the villains, and then the world's going to be at peace. I'm going to do what you should have done years ago, Barry. And it's like, holy shit! Like, that is cool. You look cool?
That is savage, dude.
Oh, my God. And no matter what artist draws him, like, even the bad art, you can't make him look bad. That's what's screwed up, is he always looks good. It's like, oh, yes.
So, he might be a universal art piece, I guess.
Oh my god, yes. We want villains like that?
The way
like
you're
that?
Describing him, like, I'm gonna look this dude up. And the way you're describing him, man, is badass.
Fuck yeah, I almost cosplayed as him.
Not just only have a good freaking story-lined villain, but a villain that has that and looks badass, and you got it all? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Come on. So, yeah, we get a villain like that. Like, we want those villains that you're like, oh, yes. Like, you're dark. Like, in Old Man Logan, like, even the cheesy villains, like Mysterio, like, who's now recently, people know him as the fishbowl head from the new Spider-Man trailer from Far From Home. Literally, he's, like, cheesy and stuff like that, but then they made him, like, really cool recently in the past few years, and now he's coming to Spider-Man Far From Home, so screw you people who say comics are stupid, because we get fucking Mysterio, played by Jake Gyllenhaal. Looks amazing.
I'm like, dude, yeah, dude, I'm actually stoked to see that.
Hell yeah. But here's the thing that he did, is he made, like, the villains all switched, like, they were, like, the villains all teamed up, like, almost all of them teamed up. And they're like, okay, we're all teamed up now, let's go kill all the heroes, and the superhero holocaust ensued. Mass graves of heroes at this point. Like, they weren't coming back, and they did not come, like, Logan was left alive in that series. For the fact of he was so broken because Mysterio did mind control on him, which he has, through technology and magic and shit like that. And he was a movie worker, so that's why I love him too. And he convinced Wolverine, because no one was answering their comms, because they're like, all this shit's happening, like, shit's popping off. And they're like, oh my god, what is happening? Like, Avengers, Defenders, Alpha Flight, anybody. And he's like, nope, no one answers, no one's answering. Nobody's answering. Like, the alarms are sounding, and X-Men are like, what are we gonna do? And the Wolverine, and then, like, the villains break into the wall, and Wolverine's like, oh, you murdered him! And they're all, like, villains you know and shit, Bullseye and all that. And Wolverine slices, he's just tearing his hell into them. He slices them into pieces, and I think he's holding Bullseye, and Bullseye says to him, Wolverine, why? Where are your friends? And just falls dead. And it's Jubilee, and, like, and Mysterio takes it off his mind, and he murdered and slaughtered everybody in the X-Men. That's a villain.
That's a badass villain, right?
That's there. I mean, yes, it's another worldly storyline where it doesn't really, it happened, but in a different Earth, but holy shit. I mean, you see the panel, and he
that
just...
That is solid, dude.
Yeah, that's a villain. And Mysterio's like, you think you could really take us all on and kill us? Screw you, Wolverine. And then, like, yeah, go to hell. And then, I think he literally tells him to go to hell.
We just used you and made you kill all
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Friends.
Yeah, they're all dead. Sucker, you couldn't kill us even if you tried. And he does later, but...
But dude, in the moment, though, I mean, you gotta think that moment right there. That's got you thinking, reading that part right there. You're just like,
he drove him to suicide. Like, he tried to kill himself underneath a train. And, like, Mysterio's still, like, laughing. Ha! It's like, oh my god.
Like, it's so bad, like, you can't even kill yourself, you little fucker.
It's like they're all like, they make fun of him. They're like, you tried to kill yourself and you couldn't even do it. It's just dark. It's not a book made for kids, Old Man Logan.
No,
none of those storylines are. But moving on, so that's a villain we want. Like, I wanted to give a Marvel and DC example, and I kind of gave it there. So now we're moving on here to the... shit. The last one, really, is what we've been talking about the entire time from Death. Pimasone. Death says, and it's D-E-T-H, mind you, D-E-T-H, not D-E-A-T-H. Be like, Death is calling. Oh, say hi to Thanos. Death, Pimasone. Oh yeah, wait, fuck Thanos. Death, Pimasone says, good art, decent story. Been saying that all episode. All episode even saying that shit. And you know what? Good note to end on is that's what we want. We want a good art and at least a decent story. But we'd like great art and a great story. But ties into the fact, not every comic's going to be for you, but there is a comic for everybody. It's a little yin-yang when you lose some relationship. It's like acting, as I've learned the hard way in acting right now, is you lose a billion, but you win a million. That's how it works. That's how film works in general. It's doing crew jobs I've learned too, and also is acting. So, fair enough. But yeah, man, that's all the comments. That's all everyone who reached back out. I think we did pretty good.
I love how they pretty much all want the same thing, in a way.
We do! Oh my god, yes! You are absolutely right. And so anyone listening out there who works on books, and I know you're listening to the show, and anyone who works out there who tied into the books and whatnot as your character, keep in mind with this. This is stuff we want to hear. Like, if you've heard what we want, Victor and I, you've heard what we want, you heard what fans want, there is an overall theme here. There's a couple ones that are like, really, tie-ins? Go fucking, but it's... Sounds like Sal from Comic Pop. And it's really just the overall theme of we want the good story, we want the good art. You know, it all, and it's a theme of two of it all coincides. So you got to have things that work together. And I've seen them go against each other, like grind against each other, writing an artist. So we don't want that.
But, yeah, like I said earlier, too, though, guys, is like, you know, like me personally, I'm in the middle of, you know, doing that stuff, you know, right now myself, between me and an artist, you know, we have to work hand in hand to make it work.
You do.
Otherwise, if the artist and the writer, you know, really don't work close with each other, you know, it's gonna be, I'm not saying it's gonna always be bad. Maybe there's ones out there that don't work with each other. They're just given paperwork and do what the paperwork says, and then it works out, you know. I mean, there's those out there too, but a majority of the time, as a personal experience of myself, it makes things so much smoother, so much easier, and then you get such a better piece of art than you normally would if you worked separately.
It's true. Oh, it's true. And it shows. It just always shows, and you don't want that to show. You want to show a good thing. You want to show what you're trying, the story you're trying to tell across, you know, with your writing and the art. And, you know, it's all people want, you know. I know we're getting a little bit over on the episode today, but overall, this is what fans want. This is us reaching out to you comic creators out there, and creators in general of stuff is, well, mostly comic creators. But we're reaching out to you. I mean, really, it is comic creators. We're reaching out to you guys and saying, this is what we want as major fans, Uber fans, the host of the podcast. But this is also what random fans who read comics and are big fans enough that they're in Facebook groups came out and told us. Like, this is what the fans who just are out there that may never have any tie into the books. It's like all they do is they pick up the books and they read them and enjoy them and share them and shit and go to the movies and play the games. But, you know, that's just how it goes. Like, this is like what those fans want. Those people who don't run a show, those people who don't do the stuff in the book industries. That's what they want. And now hopefully you guys take it and you roll with it. Marvel, DC, everyone out, indies too. I know you guys are out there. You're listening. Take it to heart, take it to this, take it inspiration, put it in your work. Maybe you listen to this, you go erase a couple things, put on a couple new things. Maybe you add a couple different things, a few more details in the art page. Maybe you change a couple things on the way the character looks there. Or maybe you write a different thing in there, write a new character in, or write a new, that's a stretch. But if you write like a new dialogue thing in there, or maybe you have them doing something else, you know, just.
Or you might have a couple different talking lines, might change up
well, yeah.
Something as simple as just a conversation.
Yeah, like redo the conversation so it makes sense, you know, and all
have
that jazz.
Have some fun with it.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
Like I when I'm writing my story, when I'm sitting there behind the keyboard and I'm sitting there typing, I can't tell you how many times I've hit that backspace button.
Yeah, it becomes your best friend.
It really does. That's, you know what, you're not wrong right there. Right here, what Dakota said, it becomes your best friend for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll be sitting there acting the scenes out in my head too, you know, or I'll catch myself standing up and actually acting it out sometimes too, actually, you know, guilty. You know, don't put me in a straitjacket, promise, I'm sane.
Yeah, that's true. Well.
But anyways, that's it right there. That's what fans want.
Fuck yeah. And so now we're coming to the wrap-up, folks.
The heart.
Oh, yes. Please do. Please do. You got to have it. We've talked about it before.
Because I promise, I won't look at you any different. I mean, all I will see is a great artist right there. That's it.
And we're just tangent now because we're just retreading the same treads, man. We're going to end it here because, folks at home, this is the end because we can keep going on, but we're just going to keep saying the same shit to you. Creators out there, take a listen. People out there who are inspired to do it, take a listen. just roll with it. So I do want to say thank you to everyone who reached out. Thank you to all you folks out there who gave us all the messages and whatnot out there as well. And thank you to everyone for tuning in this episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. As always, you can listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes Podcast, and comiccronicle.podbean.com. But we do want to let you guys, we want to hear from you guys. So for viewers out there, listeners, I mean, woohoo. You can tell who's been working on a film set today. Is do this. Leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a review on Podbean.com. Whatever you listen on, leave us a review. We want to hear from you. So leave us a review and tell us what you want from the show. Tell us maybe another talk show segment you guys want us to cover, because we're thinking about doing Batman Beyond. And tell us what you want to do with that. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell us things maybe you could improve upon the show. I know it's a talk show segment, and these are kind of rare these days, but because we do mostly focus on guests. But see, give us a message. Give us a comment down below and a review. And say, and you know, rate us into us, if that helps, of who you want to see on the show. I know there's some big names out there, but if you can get us a hold of them, then sure. You know, because we're getting bigger and bigger names every time. So definitely, folks, do that for us. And if you want to follow Victor, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Victor Hudgens. You can find me at Victor Hudgens on Twitter, and you can also find me as the Spokane_Avenger on Instagram.
Yeah. That's right, folks. You can follow your co-host on there and see what his adventures are up to with his own comic book. I don't want to touch on as much on here, but Victor mentioned it. Stay tuned with that. And stay tuned for more things for Comic Chronicle Podcast by following the FanCorp Networks page at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you guys follow the Nerdballs that we're now officially a part of. And make sure you check us out on there. I'll be writing some articles and whatnot coming out pretty soon on the Nerdballs page. Make sure you guys go follow Nerdballs on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well. FanCorp Network on Facebook for FanCorp. And stay tuned to the FanCorp Network YouTube page for video game playthroughs and much more on that shit as well, too. And fun stuff for me from playing some games. I like playing games, and so I record it for you guys. And as well, if you want to follow me, I'm at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram and at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter. Yeah, folks, definitely give us a shout out and message us on there or tweet us or anything like that, or comment on there of things you want to see, people you want to see, and things you want to see done on the show, and tell us how we are. If we completely blow, I'll take it. I don't care, still a review. That's just how I am. They're like, you suck. Thank you. Thank you very much. Love nice
it.
To meet you.
Love it.
So, thank you guys for joining, the guys and gals out there. We love it all. We love you guys. Any final words for these comic fans out there, Victor?
Just want to give my love to every single one of you folks that commented, and just want to give my love to everybody out there who is writing or who has finally going to start writing if you have never started yet. But I hope encourage the ones that do.
And artists. We encourage artists. Can't leave them out.
Yep. All artists.
Yes.
All artists. Whether you're a writer, drawer, it's all art in my eyes. I love it all. Bring it out. Don't be afraid. Love
preach
ya.
It. Just don't preach it. Preach it. I gotta do it. All right, folks, on there. This is getting pretty madness and chaotic as usual, but that's the show as well, because we like having
fun. I'm signing out myself.
Yeah, mentally we're all signing out. We're on an hour and 12. Holy shit. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Make sure you guys go follow us on the social media platforms as well for the network and the Nerdballs. And make sure you guys stay tuned for some more, because coming up next, it's some fun interviews. Very fun interviews. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and stay classy, comic fans.